Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Now, here's your host, Jim Rome.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. I want to share with you today that I've discovered in my life over many years, and that is that God is still doing creative miracles. I mean, they're absolute miracles, and people witness them right in front of their eyes. They not only witness them, but the people that experience them, their lives are changed. And we're going to look at a couple stories today of people that were healed. We're going to look at their report that's found in Dr. James Maloney's book called The Dancing Hand of God. In his book, he reports these miracles. There were people at the place where they happened. There were people that witnessed the miracles. There were people that experienced the miracles. And I think you should know about it. In our thinking today, there is argument and or discussion in many people's minds. Are we created or did we evolve? And probably the hard thing to understand is that God can create. He did create, and he's doing it today. That's hard to understand, but it's a fact. It's a data point in all the information that we collect about creation, about evolution. And I'm not here to argue those points. But I know God as a creator. I've witnessed it. And what we cover today, these people have witnessed it, and you should know about it. That's why we're here. We want to report on what God is doing today. And the media is one source. And I want to tell these stories today. I'm going to go to two stories. One about a man born without an arm. And the second story will be about a blind man that was born without pupils and an iris. Today I'd like to have a guest. Our guest name is Dr. James Maloney, and he writes a book called The Dancing Hand of God. Now, I have taken a couple pages out of his book that I am going to read to you. I am going to read it like just like I'm there. I'm going to put myself in his shoes. So here goes in Dr. James Maloney's book, page 345 and on, and it's called Alma Story. I have taken teams over to India for ministry outreach to the tribal people way in the secluded jungles. I mean places so remote they've not seen white folks before. Anyway, on one of these excursions, a precious sister in the Lord from a Lutheran background was part of the team. Her name is Alma. This is what happened to her. We were somewhere, who knows exactly, I don't think I can find it on the map, in northern central India. People were coming in from many tiny villages to hear about this Jesus that we preached, and the Lord graciously revealed himself to these people, whom most had never heard the plan of salvation. We were seeing some tremendous miracles and salvations. Night after night of those crusades, the crowds were swelling. One night in particular, I was going down a line of Indians spread out before me, praying for nearly every conceivable type of disease or infirmity. I was seeing intense miracles to the Lord's glory and honor. Crippling conditions healed, crooked bones made straight, blind eyes and deaf ears opened. It was a blast to see the Lord touch these people. A man stood before me. It didn't take a gift of discernment to see what was wrong with him. I didn't even need an interpreter. This guy had no arm. Now, by no arm, I mean no arm. Not a shriveled arm, not a crippled, mangled arm. It just wasn't there. No arm. I foolishly looked behind him to see if the arm was on the wrong side. Nope, not at all. There was a shoulder, and sticking out of the armpit was a hand, just a hand, waving to me. Did I mention that he did not have no arm? I'm persuaded it had never been created. Pretty easy deduction, I suppose, because there was the hand waving at me, but no arm. Now, Alma was overwhelmed because there was just no way I could pray for hundreds of Indians that were coming out. So I gathered the whole team together and sent them out amongst the people. I figured, what better way to ease them into the power of evangelism than to toss them in the midst of the whole lot of folks with AIDS and cancer and worse?
But poor sweet Alma, the first night, a person with leprosy stood up in front of her. So she was a little freaked out, to say the least. Her confidence level was hovering over zero. When that service was over, she came up to me and said, "Now, Brother Jim, I don't know it was going to be this way. I thought I was coming to India to sing some songs and encourage the pastors. I can't handle this. So tomorrow night, when you call up the sick, I'll just go over there behind the pulpit, stand and intercede for you. Don't call me up to lay hands on the people." Of course, I didn't want anyone ministering among the people who didn't have the faith or confidence to pray for them. So I just nodded and said, "Sure, Alma, no problem." In my heart of hearts, I had planned on honoring her request not to make her pray for anybody. But here was this man that had no arm. Remember, he was armless. I had just gone through telling all the people that there was only one true God and wise God, and his name was Jesus, and to prove it to them, bring up all the sick and they will be healed. So far, I had seen great success until this guy with no arm stood before me. I did everything I knew to do. I prayed for this man in English, in tongues. I cast off. I spoke in. Every scripture I knew on healing poured from my lips. I jerked on the man's waving hand. Nothing happened. He was still so, very armless. All eyes were upon me. The kingdom of light and darkness were clashing. The pressure was astounding. Finally, after a few minutes, I gained enough spiritual sense to stop wearing myself out and prayed, "Lord, why isn't this man being healed?" The Lord spoke to me and he said, "You give him to Alma." "Righto." "Oh, Alma, Alma, darling, come here, please." Alma was behind the podium, intensely praying in tongues, her eyes shut tight. You could hear her fervency. I guess she thought the Lord was calling her because she jerked her head toward the heavens and said, "Yes." "Look, Alma," I said, drawing to her attention to the more earthbound things. "I know last night you said you didn't want to pray for anyone, but I want you to pray for this guy here." Her eyes alighted on the man, and he was armless, by the way. Boy, oh boy, talking about looking daggers at someone. She fixed me with this seething gaze to say, "I told you I didn't want to pray for anyone, and you give me this man? Oh, I'll deal with you later, Jim." But she went up to the armless man, miserable. But she went up nonetheless. Now, in case you don't know, it's very hot in India, like 9 o'clock at night, 90% humidity. And there was close to 500 mothers and children there who would hike sometimes as much as 2 or 3 days to get to these meetings. And I'd say the length of the crusade, some 2, 3, 4 days. We had to shelter them from the heat, so the crusade coordinators, indigenous pastors, constructed a makeshift pavilion out of rafters and put straw on top. Someone thought it was a smart idea to string light bulbs all the way across the rafters because the gatherings went on well after the dark. Problem was, most Indians are relatively short people, so the light bulbs were at my nose level to me. Usually my head would hit the rafters when I was on stage. Can you imagine the bugs that congregated around those light bulbs? I learned to talk through clenched teeth the whole time, because if the heat was unbearable in India, the bugs were worse. Funky-looking bugs, man. I mean, little human faces on them like the Outer Limits episode. Book of Revelation stuff, my friends. Fangs, fur, whatever. God only knows what I swallowed during the sermons. Strangely, I didn't get hungry, though. The bugs were one thing, but we fed the children and the mothers there under the pavilion on the dirt floor. And where the little kids drop food in India, there are rats. Now, the rats in India kill the cats. You think I'm joking? But I'm not. They're mongrels. They're mutant ninja rats, and periodically they'd drop from the rafters to land on the food the kids were eating. We had guys beating them away all day, much to their own physical peril, because rats, they're notoriously foul-tempered, demonized little monsters they were. Anyway, I digress. So there's this pavilion with rafters and straw, and here's Alma with the armless man. You recall, he did not have any arm. We were all standing under the pavilion. She approached him, boring holes into me with her eyes, and miserably flopped her hand on one shoulder of the man that was perfectly normal, not daring to look at the waving hand on the other shoulder. She squeezed her eyes shut, shook her head, and muttered, "Jesus!" Now, at the first or second she did not even get the word Jesus out all the way. Won't you know, that hand that was attached to the man's shoulder shook violently and launched out of the socket like a cannonball flying through the air. Thank God, an arm was attached to it. Otherwise, it would have just been gross. Keep in mind, Alma's eyes were shut. Otherwise, it was not funny. But the man's hand attached to this new arm landed on top of poor sweet Alma's head. Ah! She screamed and knocked that hand off her head. She thought it was a rat. Dead serious here. Had jumped out of the rafters and landed on her. She screamed, dancing on tiptoes, brushing her hair vehemently, while the man's arm swung like an ape's at his side. He hadn't yet learned to control the muscles. Luckily, the guy was too astonished at his new arm to be offended. Alma recovered her composure and opened her eyes to see this man standing before her with this perfectly whole, swinging arm. She looked up at me, shocked, looked back down at the man's arm, looked back up at me and shouted, "Brother Maloney, oh my Lord, it works, it really works!" From that moment forward, we could not control Alma. Every time we gave an altar call on that trip, she'd tap me on the shoulder and say, "Excuse me, Brother Maloney," and she'd cut in front of me and start wading out into the crowds, finding anybody with a crippled or maimed arm. No interpreter needed. She'd point to one and say, "And you, and you, and yes, you, and you," 20 to 30 every night. To the best of my knowledge, she saw 100% success. I often thought, what God hath wrought. Oh, praise God. My friend, God wants us to be bold, and of course you need an anointing, and you need to be in the right place at the right time, or you need to have the hunger for something like this. I myself have had these experiences when I was in South America. Not quite as dramatic, but blind eyes, deaf ears, people with cancer, people crippled. It is remarkable to see that God is still working today. He's doing today what he did way back then when Jesus was on the earth. It's not so far away, my friend, as the Bible said. Don't go thinking that God is far away, that you have to call him. The Bible said he's very near. He's right here. He's in your heart, and he's near, even so close as your mouth. That's what it says in the book of Romans. The next miracle out of Dr. James Maloney's book is
The Blind Man in India. I recall one instance where I had a line of about 15 to 20 Indians standing in front of me with all manner of afflictions. Going down the line, I was seeing tremendous success to the glory of God. One man stood before me, blind as blind can be. I mean, no color, no pupil, just white eyeballs. He had not seen a shaft of light in his life of over 35 years. Now, it's one thing to see someone healed who has had sight and lost it. It's another thing to see someone who healed who has never had sight in their life. The outcome once their eyes pop open is often humorous. And Jesus is speaking in the Gospel of Luke, the 4th chapter, and he's actually quoting from Isaiah. Now, you might know the scripture. This is what Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind." Recovery of the sight to the blind. And that's once again Luke 4:18. You can read it for yourself. Now there's another scripture in Isaiah talking about a messenger that would come and open the blinded eyes. Let's see, Isaiah 35:5, I think. And in Isaiah, he's prophesying, of course, about the coming Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. But to the best of our knowledge, it was the first event of healing and deliverance for the blind came into being when Jesus showed up. So every time a blind eye is opened, it is proof the light of the world has come.
What else is so amazing? As the above thought came to me, the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance one of the Hebraic covenant names of God, Jehovah Rapha. And that name translated is, I am the God that mends your life by stitchwork. Now, that is through a word study that we come up with that, and Dr. Maloney said it's found in Strong's number 7495. Sure enough, marvelous it is to watch, the Lord began to stitch this man's eyes. It took several minutes, and it was like watching a needle poke color into the whites of those eyeballs. Line after line, his eyes were stitched into place. There were the colored irises. There were the pupils. Finally, his eyes looked normal, except for one small detail where they were covered with a filmy glaze, and he still couldn't see. The miraculous stitchwork in and of itself boggled my mind, but I thought, well, God, can't be finished. Maybe because the man can't see, he's not done yet. So I prayed a second time, and that film melted off his eyes and ran down his cheeks. The man had been following the sound of my voice, but suddenly he found he was staring at me, and he screamed. Hurt my feelings a bit. Oh, well, honestly, I guess I'd scream too if I was the first thing anybody ever saw. Interesting enough, after he calmed down a bit, I noticed he began to act like me. See, we had this man come out over the next few nights of meetings and give his testimony. And he'd watch me with all mannerisms, my inflections. He spoke a different language, obviously, my gestures. When he came up to testify, sure enough, he'd move his hands in the same way I did, watching me for approval out of the corner of his brand new eyes. He'd shout like I shouted, except for in his native tongue. He'd pray for the people like I prayed for them. His hand on their shoulder, this hand on their forehead, this leg a little behind the other. It was quite hilarious. I suddenly had a parrot, and he was such a dear parrot to watch. Isn't that wonderful? Here, Dr. Maloney is recounting a man born blind, without irises, without pupils, and right in front of his eyes, he saw the pupil, he saw the iris being formed, the man received sight. See, my friend, God is able, he's willing to do creative miracles in the world today. His hands aren't tied. Just because people believe that we evolved from slime and from rock by a series of mutations and selections, which is kind of crazy to me, God is still doing great and wonderful things. And there's evidence in the world today of it, and I'm here to report it to you and for you.
The stories I read to you today are reports of events that have actually happened. The people that experienced the miracles, one man who was born blind with no sight, never had any sight, he received his sight, new pupils were created, new irises were created right while people watched. The man that was born without an arm and only had a hand sticking out his shoulder, the arm was instantaneously created where people saw it. The man that had received the healing experienced it. So these events are not hidden. They're for open observation, and they happened. The people that came for the miracles, they needed the miracle. In fact, that's how I see God working. Sometimes, just because we need it, he supplies it. I know you. Sometimes you have to be in the right place at the right time, and there may be other factors. But the point is that God does show up. He does create instantaneously things for people. Now, if you are a scientist, you may be persuaded that creation is actually evolution, a long, slow process, and you observe this process and you come to a conclusion that it must have taken millions of years. But in these cases here, this was instantaneous. And I think this is evidence, proof, a data point on our understanding that God is a creator. He's still a creator. He can create for you. He has for other people. And I think we should report it, part of the process of learning about God, and, well, science, too, incorporates logic, a combination of thoughts, a conclusion,
We become cognizant of things. We observe things, and from them we make a conclusion. We come up with a theory why and how they work. And, well, God is referred to, actually Jesus is referred to as the logic of God, the logos of God in John 1, very first verse. So I believe that God wants us to see things. He wants us to believe things. He wants us to be free of our bondage to the natural world and realize that there is a supernatural world. Jesus came and demonstrated a supernatural world. People who were locked in, burdened, their life had basically come to an end in the natural. They were crippled. Jesus came along, set them free, healed them, delivered them. Blind eyes were open. And this is what is so important about us understanding the coming of Jesus and what it did. It was not a religious movement. It was a demonstration of God on earth, what he does, what he thinks, what he'll do for you. What he did back then, he'll do today. That was the desire, as I understand it, of God's heart, to demonstrate his love, his ability, his willingness to intercede in your life. And today it's possible that you too can receive a miracle, even in the sound of my voice. For you out there that need a miracle today, I'm going to pray for you. My Heavenly Father, my Lord and my Savior, I thank you for this opportunity to be on the radio and to broadcast these events. I believe in you and I trust in you, and I thank you for the miracles that you've done in my life. I believe that you can do them for that person listening today. I ask you right now to consider that person, look their way, and I ask you to heal their body, that situation that seems totally impossible, irreversible. Lord God, I ask you to do a creative miracle for this listener today that's listening somewhere who has an incurable disease, who has received an injury that's impossible to ever recuperate from. I'm asking you right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would reach right down into that room to where that person is at right now, wherever they're at. I thank you for it. I thank you for it today, Lord God. Amen. Well, that's all the time we have today, my friend. I thank you for listening today. I pray today that your faith has grown. Your faith has grown that you realize that God is still doing creative miracles and he can do one for you.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
There is a way when you feel you cannot make it. There is a way when you think you just can't take it this very day. There's a way with the Lord. There is a peace that passes all understanding. We have a God that can lift his mighty hand and make us a way. Where there was none before. Well, I know sometimes you feel that your burden is just too great to bear. You look around for someone to help you, and nobody seems to care. We have a God that can move any mountain. He is the King, and his love's a flowing fountain this very day. There's a way with the Lord. Well, I have seen the sick and the lame begin to walk and I've seen them restored to health. And I have seen the impoverished man brought from rags and want to wealth. There is a way. When you feel you cannot make it, there is a way. When you think you just can't take it, this very day, there's a way with the Lord. This very day, there's a way.
Would you like to have Jim Rohn come to your group, church, or a special event?
I'd like to hear from you. You can write to me at Jim Rohn, Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. Once again, our mailing address is Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110.
The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He will pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night or in His light you will never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
All passengers boarding for Global Air Force are now boarding K1.